Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey, Supernatural fans, welcome to our mid-season finale. We've got Adam out of the cage, and you will never believe who is large and in charge, rocking hell right now. We're coming at you with more fun than you can handle.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We got lots of guest stars in this episode today, didn't we, Cherry?
So many.
So many spoilers, so many surprises. You guys, this is our Supernatural mid-season finale. We are coming at you from season 15, episode 8, Our Father Who Aren't in Heaven. I am Lindsay Wagner. I am joined by...
Happy Supernatural Thursday. It's me, Cherry.
Y'all, I walked into the bar I work at in the morning today, and I turned on the TV, and Supernatural was on, and it was the episode where Crowley, if y'all check my Instagram stories, you will see it. Crowley has this great, like, one-liner about the boys coming back, like a specific STD. It was flipping amazing. I giggled so hard. And then it was also the return, us seeing the British Men of Letters. McDavies and Arthur Ketch. So it was quite the episode. I kept it on for the first hour when no one was in the bar and watched. I was like, yes, oh my God, I miss this so much.
Classic.
And I'm like, it's Supernatural Thursday.
And it will be our last Supernatural Thursday to ever have as a break.
To ever have as a break, yeah. And then we're going to come back January 16th. That's our return date, Thursday, January 16th. So you guys, we got a whole month and a week without Supernatural. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. We're just going to go rewatch all the episodes again. We're going to be talking about Adam and Michael, this dual character. We are going to be talking about who is currently ruling hell. There's a little door that the boys are going to be going through, and... Yeah, Chuck is back. So, Cherry, I'm going to ask you, what did you think of this episode?
Here comes Supernatural. Here comes Supernatural. Right down Winchester Boys Lane. It's my own little Christmas joyous day. And this episode was a blast, full of them gambling. I mean, the minute you see some people who look dead in Supernatural, yeah, now there's some trouble. And Chuck is full of his, you know what? I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say go to hell, Chuck, but
ooh,
go to hell, Chuck.
Ooh, those are harsh words. Like, Cherry's the happiest person I know. So to hear her say that, there's frustration here, y'all. There is. Right here in River City.
Right here in River City.
Yeah, Chuck is killing everyone in a casino, and this poor little innocent waitress bringing this tropical rum cocktail. At first, I was going to say it had to be a Sex on the Beach or something like that, but it's probably a rum runner and bartender talk. And he's like, keep him coming. You don't want to make me angry.
And not too much rum. I mean, dude, why are you asking for a rum drink if you don't want rum in it?
If you don't want any liquor in it or you want it light, like... Come on. And he's just instantly winning. And I'm like, all right, what kind of antics are you going to be up to today?
Cheating.
I knew with the mid-season finales, we always get some sort of like, aha, or like, whoa moment. And the whoa moment happened way early in the episode, which I was very happy about. That's coming, you guys. It's coming, I promise. It might have been spoiled in the chat already, but I'm not going to spoil it for you here. On video yet.
It's coming up.
It's coming up. So Eileen's out on a hunt on her own, and she goes around the corner and almost kills Sam, who's been following her, and he's worried about her. And we continue to see this friendship that's developing into more and more concern and care for Eileen than perhaps maybe a typical hunter would.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Would care for someone. And even Dean calls notice to it later in the episode and says, you know, dude, she gets it. Like, she gets our lifestyle. She could do better. You could do worse. Like, I'm really happy for you. Even though Sam says, we've tried this before, this doesn't work for us, I think we're all really, really hoping that Celine happens.
Celine is the awesome ship name that I'm loving. And I have to say, the way he was talking, I felt like he was trying to, like, distance himself. And I thought, is my little precious boy doing a Friends with Benefits situation? Is he? He doesn't seem like a Friends with Benefits type of guy.
Absolutely not. He's way too emotional and, like, romantic, I think, to have I'm not saying that you couldn't not have a Friends with Benefits situation and still be like a hopeless romantic or be relationship. And then part of me thinks, are we seeing more of just like, not a father figure, but just like somebody that truly cares about her and just like loves her, but not in a romantic way?
I'm torn between that because I definitely feel that he cannot bear to lose anyone else. And that's why he's sort of falling in behind her and checking in on her. And the threat against her was a lot for him emotionally. I don't think right now he's able to have a relationship after so many losses, mm-hmm. one after another. But he likes the idea of being with someone and the idea of having an emotional connection with someone who understands the Hunter life. Because he usually tries to date non-Hunters and it just doesn't work.
This could work. Uh-oh, if you can. You guys see a little head popping up. We've got a little Rutherford in here. Oh, it's Rutherford. Okay, you got to sit down. Thanks, pal. This is the other thought. Eileen gets a phone call from Sue, and immediately I'm like, mm-mm, something's not right. Did you feel that?
Yeah, it felt really off to me.
Y'all felt that. You couldn't not. It just didn't seem, she was like, come and see me, come help whenever you have time, whenever you're free. Like, it was just too much. And then for Eileen to mention it to Sam and for Sam to go with, I'm like she wanted to go on her own initially to this first hunt and didn't want Sam following her. So then she tells Sam about it. So I don't know. I'm just not loving that. And we get to where this vamp nest is supposed to be. And Sue is there. And then it morphs into Chuck.
It was the language that they used was very much not like what a woman would say. It was very manipulative. Where at first she asks her in a nice way. Then she says, oh, well, do you have to ask your boyfriend? And sort of like does this whole weird feminism thing. And then she's hiding. She's like down in a car garage by herself in the dark.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, all I could say was I tweeted out, you in danger, girl. She did.
All signs dead. Pointed. Now that you're saying it, yeah, it was completely Chuck controlling Sue the whole time, obviously. I didn't know it was Chuck. Something just felt off, like maybe he was telling Sue to do this, but it makes more sense that he just took control of her and decided that this was going to be the situation.
I thought she was a vampire in all honesty.
I did too. And Eileen saying, thank God, and he's like, anytime. Steps in with his little
smirk. No,
we don't care.
We want to smack the smirk off you, buddy.
Hi, Sam.
Ari Master Austin Prophet said, I knew Sue was a setup somehow, especially after Chuck threatened Eileen. And then Robinaw says, to quote Akbar, it's a trap.
It's a trap. It is a trap, y'all. And Crowley. Sorry, I've got Crowley on the brain after seeing him today in the episode I watched earlier. Chuck saying, hi, Sam. And then that's all we get of this episode, of this and this situation until a month until episode 9 or whatever is going to happen in between there. So
it was a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger for that. we knew this was going to kind of happen. We'll get into what we see happening next episode once we get to our predictions later on. But let's get back to Sam realizing they've got the demon tablet, which was created and dictated by God. So he's written this thing, but and it's written to give directions in case something happens to him. As Sam points out, he has an Achilles heel. He's not whole right now, so perhaps this is the opportunity for them to take this tablet and really kind of take over and take control. But who do they need to read it, Jerry?
No, not Donatello. You keep bringing him back. This terrorizing
this
him.
Poor guy is literally going to go nutso if
I
he hasn't already.
Too. You but know? I have to say, I kind of like Grumpy Castiel. He's kind of sexy when he's like, I know you're in there. Open the door. I'm like, ooh, tell me what to do, Daddy.
Daddy. Yeah, Daddy.
he's cute when he's grumpy.
I've got another appearance by Rutherford. I don't know if he's doing that for Rutherford or just for us talking about grumpiness. And anyway, they say that they can basically put God into Chuck into solitary confinement because they do need him to keep the balance of the earth on its like axis. And there's no annotations on this demon tablet, which they were wondering if it was from Metatron, basically giving context to the actions that were happening. Things only shared with his favorite, which would be Michael. And something takes over Donatello, and this is where Chuck once again is now taking over someone else. So we should have seen it, I guess, right here in the situation, because this happened before we even saw Eileen talking with Sue, that Chuck had taken over Donatello and basically said, you guys stop, go no further, or I will use brute force and take care of your friends. Ooh, Jody, Donna, and who else did they say? Eileen. So Eileen. Drop it. Are the boys really going to drop it?
They're not going to drop
it. No!
But let's just be clear. As Catholics, when you say God's name, you bring whatever you're doing to God's attention. So they should have like tried to do something a little bit more undercover than what they
And apparently
done.
The warding doesn't hold in the bunker for God. Not against God.
Come
sorry,
on.
He's all being everywhere. He is in everything. That's why when you said, God, he's listening.
He's looking. He's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
He might not help you, but he heard you.
Remember that episode back when God showed them how people think and all you just heard was millions of voices talking?
Yes.
Like, that's what he's hearing all day
all
long. And somehow he can answer or take care of, like, everyone. And it's crazy, crazy, crazy.
Very crazy.
So Sam makes a spell. Basically, it was Rowena's spell to get into hell. Dean cuts his hand, and Cass goes and heals him. So I'm like, okay, all right, we're trying to, like, mend this brokenness between Sam and Dean, or between Dean and Cass. And little do we know, who's actually going to tell them they really need to fix things is when they get to hell, there's three women waiting for them. And these women were bad,
yes.
Bad asses.
Beat them
down. They beat them down like that girl just punching Dean. I was like, and Dean yells, is anyone winning?
None of you boys.
Best line of the episode.
Weak sauce.
My favorite part. And then someone yells stop, and I'm like, uh-oh, I know that voice. I know it. Cherry, 1, 2, 3, who is it? 1, 2, 3. Rowena!
So happy to see her back. And what a shock. Like, literally, I was like, oh, but didn't I say we needed to have a queen of hell?
I did. How sexy is she as the queen of
the
hell?
The waves, that mascara,
the mascara,
eyeliner,
the smoky eye. I mean, better than ever.
That red dress.
Ooh, everything.
I think all the best hairstylists, the best makeup artists, the best dressers go to hell.
She reminded me of Abaddon.
She looks so good.
So good. She is like, this is everything that she's needed. She says that, yes, the fissure cost her life, but her soul went to hell. Big surprise. and she took the throne. So she was pretty excited about
and
this.
And when the boy said, oh, who gave it to you? She was like, this bitch took that. I took it.
Yeah, she's like, I took it. Yeah.
Come on.
She and Sam starts to apologize, and she's like, no, this is the best thing to happen to me. Although she misses sex and Amazon deliveries because Amazon doesn't deliver to hell.
Body on body sex.
Body on body
so
sex.
So she's having sex.
Some kind of
just
sex.
Just not body on body.
Apparently the really good kind. But she
I noticed her assistants looked mighty good. I'm just saying.
But she is the queen.
And
she asks Sam make her a drink, and then this is when she says, okay, guys, something's up here. What's going on between you two, Cass and Dean? What's up? You know, I remember making Napoleon so short, like, she calls herself a bitch. Part of my language. Oops. And telling Mick Jagger he'd amount to nothing. And everything that happened with Fergus. She can't fix this. None of these things can be fixed later on in life. So Cass and Dean need to fix this. And
I was kind of hoping Fergus would be in hell. I'm sorry. I want to see him so bad.
I'm not. I don't think it's the end of him yet. I will not say it's the end of him.
I don't think he's dead, though.
Until we get to episode 20. I think that's the final episode. Until we get to then and we haven't seen him, then I'll be like, okay, he's not coming back. Literally. I'm waiting.
Back.
I think he's coming back. I want him to. And one of her plebes / interns tells her that Michael is nowhere to be found. So
like a bat out of hell.
Because they all got out. Everyone in the cages, everywhere. Everyone is out. So we know that Adam and Michael are also out.
We have a question from the chat.
Yes.
Art Master Austin Broffitt says, what do you guys think Crowley would think of Owena being queen of hell?
He'd love it.
I know he'd love it. He loved his mom.
He'd be like, all right, mom took over. This is, if I can't be the king of hell, mom is literally a queen, so she can definitely do this job and take over.
And she's running a tight ship.
Yeah.
When the boys came down, they were on them like from the get go.
Oh, yeah. She's doing good. She's doing well.
Ran it like a boss.
So we see a waitress bringing Adam a burger. And him kind of going back and forth saying, I know I don't need to eat, but I haven't had a burger in 10 years. It's totally worth it. It tastes delicious. And he's going back and forth. And we realize he is actually, him and Michael are talking. And I got a little confused here because I'm like, wait a second, Michael. Wait, I thought we killed Michael. And then I'm like, wait a second, this is the other Michael.
Yes.
So this is the Archangel Michael. And I'm like, okay, yeah. This all
not
makes
from the other,
yeah, not from the other, not the other
with his
bad
vessel,
Michael,
his
but
preferred vessel.
So he's in this diner, and Lilith shows up and says, "No, I got to take you to God, and I can't leave without you." Well, he's way more powerful than Lilith.
He was not,
and flashes her away. And I love that he just snaps his fingers and says, "Forget, you know, don't remember this or forget it."
I wish I had a Thanos snap in real life. I really do. And you know what else I wish we could do?
What?
I want everyone who's enjoying watching Supernatural, even though we're having a break, keep tuning in to AfterBuzz TV because you will get to discover new movies, new books, new TV shows. Because AfterBuzz TV is full of people who loves TV, movies, and everything else as much as you do. And we have tons of stuff that you can enjoy, not just Supernatural and sci-fi, but Project Runway, Evil. They have everything under the sun that you want to watch with people who will be talking about it and that you can join them live in the chat. So make sure you give us a thumbs up. Check us out on Apple Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe because we love sharing our passion with you here on AfterBuzz TV and making new friends because of it. So thank you, Maria and Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Make sure to subscribe and follow us on all the things social media so that we can talk in between the Supernatural days. So, also in the chat, I noticed that Chris Mo said Crowley would have been great to see. Like, agree with you 100%. I also saw that Aaron Brody said, I was hurt that girl who was punching Dean. Watch his face. And then Artmaster Austin says, # protect Dean's face. Like, the newest thing, like, yeah, please don't hurt his face.
Not the
like,
face.
Let's keep it intact, okay? Everywhere else, just not.
Not the testicles.
Because
we want to have babies with our Winchester boys.
Someone needs to have a baby with him.
But, you know, the tummy is okay.
But, yeah. So, continuing on, Dean calls Donatello, asks if he's felt anything lately. He says no. This sets us up to know that, okay, Donatello's going to feel something later. And, okay, now Donatello actually says he does know something. Michael is moving all over. He's not quite sure where he is. And then he says he's in Cairo, Egypt. But Cass says he's able to bring him there. So he kind of starts to plead with Michael and pray to him, saying, you know, God is not who he is, or not who he says he is. There's a battle raging. He is no longer his enemy. Now they all have the same enemy, and it's God. And obviously Adam/Michael come. They have him warded in a fire circle, and the boys take him back to the bunker. Michael is obviously not happy about this. Would you be happy about this?
No.
But I'm wondering, okay, how is this going to be handled between Sam and Dean and Adam? Is he going to be upset? Is he not going to want to help? And it almost seems as if it's not even Adam's decision. It's more up to Michael, what Michael wants to do versus Adam.
That's because Michael has the power.
Michael has the power. But I figured that, you know, with the preview last week, it seemed more so like Adam was saying, why would I help my brothers? Like, they let me rot in hell.
Adam's still mad at them.
Sure.
But they discussed before he went to hell with them. So he kind of volunteered for it. So he kind of accepted it. But he did kind of hope that they'd save him and get him out of hell.
Sure.
Michael did not agree to go to hell. So Michael was not happy with that. Mm-hmm. So I totally am fine with how Michael feels. And I also don't blame him for not trusting the Winchesters.
Sure.
Because when it comes right down to it, if they think something is in the right, they'll put you in a box forever and dump you into the sea if it comes right down to it.
Well, and I love that Michael has Adam's back and kind of is protecting him like an older brother, too, mm-hmm. saying, like, well, you let Lucifer go, but you made Adam rot. Like, what the heck? Where is your loyalty? Now you're trying to get us to help you? Like, put God away? Well, why would we help you after you've done that?
They're not going to manipulate Michael. Michael's lived for eons, so that's not going to work on him. And I do like how, over the course of time, when they're locked alone in that hellish cage together, that they weren't fighting. That was always one of the things that I worried about at the end of the episode, was that they'd just be fighting and sad for eons, forever. And I was like, Adam didn't deserve that. Michael wasn't being good, but Michael is an angel, and what angels consider good and bad, as we remember when Castro
first
came
down,
is not what we as humans decide as being good or bad.
Well, and they kind of became one another. And I loved the actor that was playing Adam going back and forth, being able to split back and forth between being Adam and being Michael, and being Adam and Michael, and literally within sentences of each other.
And like, the expression, his face
expression,
would almost loosen.
Intonation, everything. Like, that is not easy to do as an actor.
And I could tell when he was being Michael and when he was being Adam. And I was like, Sam, Dean, can you not tell which ones are right?
Yeah, like, you
know, they didn't really know him that well.
Sure, sure.
But, in the chat, Peter D. Supernatural Hoovian, I think we're going to get a badass cast back this season. My guy's going to go out in a blaze of glory. And Aaron Brody said, all of his creations are out to kill their maker. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone's mad. Everyone's pissed off.
Chuck has been a total douche nozzle.
Yeah. And opening that gate meant they're out and wreaking havoc on whoever they want to.
He's like playing, like, when Cassio showed him what Chuck has been doing, it would have been mind-blowing for Michael. Like, that's mind-blowing. And he still has loyalty to the God that he thinks he knew versus this creature, Chuck.
Sure.
I think he's differentiating between the two the way that the boys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he will only go so far. And he's totally peaced out. And he's like, well, you know, I gave you this, opened up purgatory for you. Peace out. Do what you need to.
Well,
I'm bouncing.
And it sounds like Adam was truly listening to the boys, because he's sitting there trying to reason with Michael, telling him, like, look, this is what's going on. Adam says, maybe Michael doesn't know Chuck as well as he thinks. Parents keep secret. And, I mean, this is where it goes. It that really, like, kind of struck me, and I think is going to struck anybody that's religious. It's meaning that we have to doubt God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've seen it on the outside now the last 8 episodes that God is actually not as good as we think he is, mm-hmm. and or is in a really crappy place at this point, where Michael hasn't seen that yet. So he doesn't know. And his favorite son, So even though God left him in a cage, as Adam says. So he's creating that seed of doubt. And thankfully, Cass is able to show him everything that Chuck has been doing. He's been lying. He's writing a story. It's his favorite show. And he's showing them this is how it all ends. And so Michael's actually able to see the truth of everything. And even though he doesn't want to betray his father, and Cass really manipulates him with, you know, he pities him at this point. He was never God's favorite. He wasn't even a star. He was a tiny blip in this story. At least Lucifer could be trusted. Or he knew, God knew Lucifer couldn't be trusted. Lucifer was a smart one. Because he knew God couldn't be trusted. So, I mean, this is great. This makes at least Michael open to hearing what's going on and seeing that. And
that he wasn't the only Michael, which also wounded him.
Yes,
a lot.
He wasn't the only Michael.
That would hurt. I can't believe
that. I think that's what made him change his mind. And he comes in and tells Cass and Dean that... Michael says God lied to him.
Yeah, he wasn't his favorite. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a man who goes out, starts a new family, and names his second child Junior 2.
Yeah.
Like, to replace the first one.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not right, man. That's not right.
So Michael says he'll help. He's going to help the boys. Mm-hmm. They can do to God. He knows how. He hands him his belt. But they need they've got all the things except they need a Leviathan blossom. Of course they do. Because why wouldn't they need something that would be found in purgatory?
It'd have to be hard. God doesn't want to make it easy for you to, like, strike him down.
Nope. So he creates a door. The door will remain open for 12 hours. So now we're going to have our countdown of 12 hours of Dean and Cass being in purgatory trying to get this damn blossom. And who knows what else is going to be there. And you know they're going to be fighting
it's
people
be
off.
Leviathans are scary.
Yeah. This is not going to be a fun situation. Michael says he's not going.
No.
And this is where Dean... goes on an apology tour to apologize to Adam for what he's done and that they were wrong and he didn't deserve this. And you see this glint in Adam's eye and like the glazing of tears almost. And he's like, we don't always get what we deserve.
That was such a good line.
Ooh, heart.
Such a good line. Break. And it was... And the boys, it looks like they're going to be separated. And then when they come back, which is always when they're at their
difficult.
Most dangerous. And it's true because Adam didn't deserve that. And when it comes right down to it, they believe that Adam and Michael were crazy, had to be locked up because of what Chuck says. And as we've known as we've learned the past two seasons, Chuck's been lying.
Chuck's
been
lying.
Awful.
And he's writing the story.
Yes. His favorite TV show.
So Chuck is at this point not to be trusted.
Yeah. I want Amara to come back because I really think they need Amara to help.
I can't wait for Amara to come back.
To help take them down. I really don't think Chuck is weak enough.
And he tells Dean good luck. And we see that nice little door
whoop.
Sparkling at us. And that is your mid-season finale, y'all.
It was wonderful. I am beyond impressed by Richard Speight Jr. directing it.
Oh.
A.K.A. Gabriel. A.K.A. the Trickster. A.K.A. Loki. Because he knows the show and he knows our mythology. And, of course, our executive producer / writer, Brad Buckner. And co-executive producer, Eugenie Ross Lemming. They did a wonderful job writing it. But they've both been executive producers for years. So,
sure.
Again, they know our characters and they know where they want to go for this final season.
For sure. It was a great mid-season finale. They didn't leave us hanging too much where we really like where sometimes where you're like worried.
Yes.
You're truly worried wondering what's going to happen. We know the boys are we know that essentially Dean and Cass are going to get out of purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
We know that whatever happens with Chuck and Sam, Sam's going to be okay because we've got 12 more episodes to figure out what the heck is going to happen and how we're going to fix all of this. So,
yes.
And we can't do it alone.
No.
They may be separated for a little while, but they can't do it alone the entire time. So, essentially, we know everybody's okay. And Rowena's back.
Rowena!
So, I mean, that is an A-plus in my book.
A-plus!
So, Let's get into our special segment.
Special segment.
The best kill of the episode.
You know what? I don't think we really had any kills.
Oh, I've got one.
Dish, girl. Dish.
Michael's spirit.
Oh, ouch. They broke his heart again.
They killed a little bit of, not Sam and Dean, but essentially, yeah, them. They kind of showed, and Cass showed him the truth. And I think it killled him a little bit inside to know that I can't even trust my dad.
Oh, I know.
I've been lied to my whole life. I've been locked away. Like, if he hasn't already felt, like, alone in this world, that just, like, broke him even more.
The look on his face when all that was, those mm-hmm. memories were flashing, was painful.
Oh, gosh. Pure pain. So, an agony.
I think I do have a good kill.
Okay. What you got for me, girl?
Chuck at the bar and just the ominous evilness that was permeating throughout all those dead people. And then the way he was threatening that waitress. I have to say, I believe before he left the bar, he killed the waitress. It might have been off camera.
Oh, for sure.
But there's no way he didn't kill that girl.
She didn't make it. There was too much rum in that rum runner.
You in danger, girl. You in danger.
So, as always, Cherry, I know you've got news for me. What kind of news and gossip do you have today?
Well, as we know, Supernatural's been on for 15 years, and that very first season when it was still WB, well, we have some exciting news. The final season of Supernatural will be moving to Monday nights starting March 16th, but when we return from the winter break, we'll be back on our normal Thursdays. So make sure you mark that on your calendar so you don't miss an episode to live tweet with me and Lindsay. And then we'll be back on Supernatural Thursdays talking about the show every week. And so I cannot believe it. And they'll be teaming up with the return of Roswell, New Mexico. So they'll be on March 16th for their final episodes at 8 p.m. followed by Roswell at 9 p.m.
Great. So we've got a little day change, and we are going to assess and figure out what we're going to do, if we're going to go to Mondays or if we're going to still keep doing the show on Thursdays. We will figure that out for you guys and have that all settled into place by the time that happens in March. But we've got Thursdays coming at you for the next few weeks after our break, after our six-week break until January 16th. So, all right, predictions.
Ooh,
or do you have one more bit of
gossip?
Oh, you've got gossip. She's got gossip for us, y'all. She got gossip.
So, our favorite boy, Oswick Chow, has gone superhero, sort of, because he's in the 5-episode Crisis in Infinite Earths. And so, our Oswick Chow is playing a genius scientist, and he's going to be working with Cress Williams, a.k.a. Black Lightning, and The Flash, Barry and Iris Allen, Killer Frost, Cisco Ramon, a.k.a. Breach, Elongated Man, Superman / The Atom, Lex Luthor, Supergirl, Black Canary, and Batwoman. I love that the CW has brought him back because Chuck did him dirty.
He did. He 100% did. And seeing him in that episode back 3 or 4, whatever it was. Oh, that was like heartbreaking.
He thought he'd gone to heaven and God had made, Chuck had made it.
That was.
And Chuck did not. He sent him to hell. And everybody knew who he was and was just messing with our cute little boy.
Yeah, that was tough.
Chuck.
So, now, let's get into some predictions.
Predictions!
TV predictions.
When we come back on January 16th, we have Chuck showing Sam everything that if he wants to see the future and shows him what's going to happen and kind of like foreshadowing it of it all. I don't know how if we're going to see what Chuck is seeing, but scary. And Dean and Cass are in purgatory. There are monsters everywhere. It's gray collars as we are when it's in purgatory. We see Dean burning, a woman dying, passionate kiss between Sam and Eileen, Bobby beheading Sam, and Sam says it can't end like that.
No. Chuck is threatening. Chuck is a douche nozzle. He's trying to terrorize the boys.
He's
because he likes to keep himself entertained. He's been alive for eons. So I have to say, if I'd been alive for eons, I might get bored too. I just don't think I'd torture people.
He's writing it, but can they change it? And that's what I'm wondering. And I know I saw Austin in the chat ask us if we think that Lucifer is going to come back to help. And I also saw somebody say, please don't bring back Lucifer. I don't want Lucifer to come back for that. I really don't. I'm done. I'm over that. Fully beyond that. I'm 100% with backing Amara in and getting her revenge or avenging, like, Chuck kind of, like, bugging the crap out of her.
Yes. And not even revenge.
And putting him in his place maybe a little bit.
Because Amara, when you think about it, she wasn't really evil before he put her in the pit. Chuck just didn't like competing with anyone. He wanted to be King God. So he put her in the pit to be like a douche nozzle. I really don't think she put him in the pit to be mean or evil, but because she doesn't believe he should be able to just wantonly destroy humanity and all the alternative Earths and all the other living creatures and all the other planets. I think she's like, that's not cool, man. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Trying to talk some sense into him. Will he listen? Probably not.
He's still trying to mansplain to her.
Chris Moe says Eileen's going to die again. So then we won't get the happy ending with Sam.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And then Robina, you either die or live long enough to become the villain, which is how we're now seeing Chuck, which is true. But I think that's why Sam or Dean are going to end up ruling over hell and heaven. And maybe they won't get their, like, happy fairy tale, but
it'll be somewhat of a happy ending.
It will be.
But with Supernatural, sometimes you live long enough where you become a better person, a.k.a. Wolwina.
Oh, she grew.
I love Wolwina.
And she's just, except now she's ruling hell and
she's having a good time.
Kicking ass and taking names. So.
It seems like she's running it like a business and she's being fair. Mm-hmm. She's not like randomly torturing people for no reason.
As far as we know. As far as we're seeing. But
she's changed, girl.
Well, y'all, that was our episode today.
Such a great episode.
We had
episode.
A good mid-season finale. I'm leaving feeling a little bit on a high. We didn't get any crazy deaths. We didn't have to say goodbye to any of our characters, at least only temporarily, for the 6 weeks until the show comes back, or 5 weeks till the show comes back. Cherry, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at Cherry_LA on Twitter and Instagram.
Y'all, this is Lindsay. You can find me on anything social media, everything social media, at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER. Make sure to tweet us and let us know what you're thinking for the next few weeks while we're waiting for Supernatural to come back on January 16th. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, all the things. Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2020 with clearer vision. That's my dad joke for the day.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.